voice of Aretha Franklin. She died this morning of pancreatic cancer at the age of 1976. And her music is going to be all over the airwaves of just about every broadcaster in the country today, talking about an unparalleled music career. And I think there's probably a couple things worth pointing out before we move on with the show. One is that she was so much more than a voice. She was one of these really virtuosic figures. Of course, she was a pianist. She accompanied herself. And an arranger, she was the brains behind a lot of the songs that she put on the charts. The other is that even though she didn't always wear it on her sleeve, she was incredibly political and radical. And I thought maybe we could dig up a story that's hooked to here in the Bay Area. So in 1970, Jet Magazine published an article that recently has been making the rounds on the interwebs about Angela Davis, who was being held in jail over allegations that she was involved with an escape attempt by a radical black Marxist, George Jackson. Ultimately, Angela Davis spent 18 months in jail. And you have to remember who she is at the time. She's a self-described communist at the height of the Cold War. The president, Richard Nixon, describes her as a dangerous terrorist. And Aretha Franklin is offering to pay her bail. This is a departure from the politics she grew up with. Her father's a pastor in Detroit. Not a big fan of this. She said to the magazine, "I've been locked up." She had been arrested for disturbing the peace in Detroit. "And I know you got to disturb the peace when you can't get no peace. Jail is hell to be in. I'm going to see her free if there is any justice in our courts. Not because I believe in communism, but because she's a black woman and she wants freedom for black people. I have the money. I got it from black people. They made me financially able to have it. And I want to use it in ways that will help our people."
Wow.
Like I said, she didn't wear her politics on her sleeve. But a year later, when an interviewer who was writing a profile of her visited her apartment in Manhattan, he did notice that the books on her shelf included texts by Frantz Fanon and Herbert Marcuse.
Wonderful. It's a wonderful story.
Aretha Franklin passed away this morning of pancreatic cancer. She was 76 years old. A couple other things I wanted to put in our listeners' radar. The state legislature is barreling towards the end of its session, which means all the bills that haven't cleared their final votes are kind of hanging in the balance. There's a big one up today for people who care about reforming policing in the state of California, SB 931, facing what will probably be its toughest hurdle as it tries to clear a vote in the Senate Appropriations Committee. What this would do is revise the use of force standards for police, specifically the circumstances under which they're allowed to use deadly force, and create requirements for the first time in a long time in California law that police try to de-escalate situations. We hear about stories like George Zimmerman in Florida and all kind of shake our hands and tisk-tisk about the standard ground law in that state that basically lets someone provoke a confrontation and then shoot the person they provoked a confrontation with. Although we tisk-tisk about it, that's basically how the law works for police officers in California. And this would change that and also make it clear that deadly force is not allowed to be used to arrest someone, to subdue someone, to stop someone from running away, and so on and so forth. It's faced a lot of opposition from law enforcement unions up and down the country. The Union for the Los Angeles Police Department moved a mobile billboard outside of the state capitol yesterday with profiles of police officers who have been killed on duty. Also has a huge coalition of policing and prison reform organizations behind it. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens with that.
So does it include training on de-escalation tactics for the police?
It does not allocate money for that. The state does have a separate authority. I believe it's called Post Police Officer Standard and Training, which kind of sets standards for training. But no, it has tried to avoid allocating extra money.
It seems counterintuitive. It seems that part of a piece of legislation on requiring de-escalation would be to then simultaneously require in the training of police officers at the academy the tools for learning how to do that. It's not necessarily a skill you're born knowing how to do when you become anyone. De-escalation, it's a trained, learned really important tactic for all of us to know how to do, but even more importantly, people who are in the position that police officers are and are trained in weapons, you would think that you would also need to be trained in de-escalation in the same way that you're trained in how to use your sidearm.
But changing the standards in training doesn't, I mean, police officers get ongoing training all the time. This is part of the controversy over Urban Shield here in the Bay Area. The question is, what are they getting trained to do?
Mm-hmm.
And this just sets a different legal standard for what they can be held liable for court.
I see.
I may be overclaiming it when I talk about de-escalation. What it specifically talks about is use of time, space, and distance to get out of a confrontation with someone who may pose a threat. In other words, if you can walk away from someone instead of shooting them dead, do it, unless they pose a threat to someone else.
I see. And what is the likelihood of passage, and what does the time frame look like? So do all of the bills need to be completed by the end of this month, either up or down, or they just continue to ride through? Is that the time frame?
Yeah, bills have to clear their chamber by the end of this month. This has already come out of the Assembly. It's now in the Senate. It's in the Appropriations Committee. Appropriations is where a lot of bills get shot down, particularly bills that are championing progressive causes. It sounds like the people pushing it think they have the votes lined up to get it through a floor vote if it gets that far. And today will be the pivotal point. Again, that is SB 931.